Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Incidentally, today after service, there's a nice little gift for you. It's kind of a Korean tradition that we give you some rice cake. And so please don't leave without one. It's from my wife and I and my mother. Just say thank you. It's, you know, like cultures do different things, right? We get rice cake. I don't know what it's about, but, you know, that's what we do. And so when you leave, please grab a little, just take one, right? Because we have a 2 o'clock service as well that we need to pass out. And so I don't want them to be upset with me, right, and stuff. So they'll be in the back, and Sean will administer that for you. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I'm actually going to read from the NIV version today. I know I don't really do that, but I actually like this translation a little better because it matches my title of my message. I know I'm very anti-NIV, but here we go, right? Romans 15:13, NIV version. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much, God. We thank you for what you're doing in Uzbekistan, God. We thank you for, Lord, the many people that you love there, God, and that you're saving, Lord, on a daily basis, God. And even in the midst of persecution, God, and misunderstanding, Lord, you're still at work. And so we just want to bless your work there, Father. But now we're here in Hong Kong, God, and we ask you to use us here, Father, and really allow us to speak life into this place, Lord. The life that you give to us, God, we want it to overflow, Lord God, into others. Lord, we ask you to bless this word today. God, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. Lord, we bless you, we thank you. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. You know, the Christian life is not half full, right? It's not half empty. The Christian life is actually overflowing, or it should be overflowing. You know, we read this passage in Romans 15. John 10:10, one of my favorite passages, says that he came that you may have life and life abundantly. The word abundantly, actually translated into a Norwegian version, is the word overflood, right? I don't know if I'm even saying that right, you know, but that's, and it's literally, right, abundantly, it's overflood, overflowing. You know, and you know, when I was young, I was kind of a punk kid, and you guys, I'm sure some of you have done this. You know, remember when you got your Coke can and things, and you wanted to mess up your friend? All you did is just shake this thing for a little bit, and then you pop it open, and the thing just starts overflowing, right? And there's a sense of excitement, or you know, you got like a 2-liter bottle of Coke or something, you know, and it just overflows. You know, like, oh, you know, you get really excited, and you know, something's overflowing. That's kind of the Christian life. We're supposed to be overflowing, overflued, right? You know, if you've ever, am I saying that right, Aaron? Oh, you're German. You don't know anything about Norwegian, right? So it just sounds very German, you know? But it's this overflowing, you know? I mean, this is a really bad illustration, but the first thing that came to mind when I talk about overflowing is, ever use the bathroom, right? And then you flush the toilet, and it just started overflowing, and, you know, not when you did number two, right? Maybe number one's easier. But it's this overflow. I know, bad illustration. Get that out of your senses, right, as much as possible. But that's really the Christian life, right? We're supposed to overflow. You know, in other words, we're supposed to take what God has given to us, abundance, right? And the way that we manifest that is it just comes out of us. You know, you just can't help it. You know what I mean? You just can't help being generous. You just can't help being nice. You just can't help doing good. You just can't help it. You know, and this is overflow. This is the Christian life. You know what happens in our life is that a lot of times there's stoppages. We block things off. You know, we don't allow God to flow through us. You know, and no wonder we're so miserable in our life. You know, no wonder we're so bitter and we're so emotional and one day we love God and the next day we're cursing God and, you know, and back and forth. Because someplace, some point, there's a plug that got set in and the life that God wants us to live, this overflow, begins to be stuck. Turn to the book of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. If you need a Bible, one of our guys will get one for you. Just raise your hand. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about overflow. Right? He's talking about a life that flows, this living water that God gives to us, you know, and we're so satisfied in it. And it's not just satisfied, we keep it to ourselves, and it just flows out of us, it springs up into eternal life. Let me tell you the story. There was a lady that she, her name was Lynn, and she was at a Christmas party with her husband's party, and she met this lady named Gail. Lynn was a mother. She had a four-year-old, just one kid, and Gail was a mother of three, the oldest being 3 years old. And so you can imagine the hectic house that she lives in. Well, she had met this woman, and she was just really struck, you know, in this conversation. They got along very well. And a few days later, as she was, Lynn was doing her quiet time, she decided to pray. And as she was praying for her family and her kids and things and whatnot, and eventually she prayed for Gail, you know, and said, "Lord, I know that she must be really tired in these things. Would you help her? You know, would you do something?" And she finished the prayer, and she felt a sense of real accomplishment, you know, kind of like a pat on the back. "Oh, I prayed for someone, you know, I feel really good about this." And then right after she had that sentiment, the Lord spoke to her and said, "Well, maybe you're the answer to your prayer." And so she decided to give her a call, and God gave her an idea. And so decided to give Gail a call and called her up and said, "Hey, I would like to come over one day. And you go out and do what you need to do, and I'll take care of your kids for the whole day." You know, and she's like, you know, Gail is obviously a bit like, you know, kind of, "Well, you know, it's kind of weird kind of thing. But no, I would really love to do this for you, you know, and just tell me what day and I'll come over and do it." You know, and she obviously sensed that, you know, there was a little trepidation on the other side of the phone and says, "Okay, if you don't, I'm just going to come over one day and just kick you out and stuff." So, you know, and eventually time passed. She never called back. And so Lynn went over to Gail's house one morning, knocked on the door, 9 o'clock in the morning, and said, "Here, you know, I want you to leave. I actually booked a hotel room for you, and you can go and sleep all day if you want to. You know, if you don't want to use it, that's okay too, and stuff. And so you just do what you want to do." And so Gail left home, left the kids there, three kids, and left 9 in the morning, came back at 9:30 at night. Right, so she's gone the whole day. She came home to see her house, her three kids tucked in bed, husband sitting down watching television, dinner cooked on the table for her, and came home, and she was just so relieved, so excited. And the only thing that Lynn told Gail was that, you know, "Your Heavenly Father loves you very much and wants to do this for you." That's all she kept saying to her. You know, and she would respond, "Well, why are you doing this?" "Oh, because your Heavenly Father loves you very much and just wants to care for you." And so comes back, and while Gail was out the whole day thinking, you know, she had come to this realization that she was emotionally almost dead. You know, she was so busy working, trying to get the kids ready. You know, she was so disconnected with her husband that she didn't even, have time to just even ask him to help out or anything, which he would have. And so there was a lot of clarity that came to her. Well, eventually what happens is that she finally asked her husband to help and others to help, and they're gladly help and do these things. And then a couple weeks passed, and all of a sudden Gail calls Lynn again and asks, why did you do that? You know, can you tell me again why you did that for me? You know, and they're, I mean, practically strangers, you know, and Lynn obviously said the same thing. It's because your Heavenly Father loves you and he wants to care for you. And Lynn on the other side of the phone can sense that, you know, kind of quiet crying on the other side. And eventually Lynn got to lead Gail into the prayer to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And she met her Heavenly Father. She wasn't a Christian before. And it was this a simple act of service. The story continues on. And Gail actually, in her church, started a ministry. You know what she's doing? She's helping young mothers with young children kind of cope with life and just doing practical things for them so that they can enjoy some time off themselves. You know, this story is out of a book that I've been reading these days. And literally a picture of what we're talking about overflowing, right? About someone that's just received a little something, not a lot, just a little something from God, decides that maybe that they're the answer to prayer, and then releases that and blesses someone else. And then that person takes a little bit of what God has given them and then releases and blesses to someone else. You know, last week, you know, I said this, right? You know, you are blessed, right, to be a blessing. You know, you are not blessed, you know. God doesn't bless you because you're so good looking, you know, and you're so smart and intelligent and, you know, and you got so much education and these things. God blesses you for a purpose. All right, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. God blesses you for a purpose. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Right? You are blessed for a purpose. Oh, church, if you truly understood what God has prepared for you, if you truly grasp the many adventures that God wants you to walk in, if you would just be obedient, if you would just be willing. Galatians chapter 6, read from verse 9 and 10. It says, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. All right, this is Paul's entreating the church in Galatia. Come on, church. Let's before that, he's talking about sowing and reaping. He says, let's sow good things because we'll reap good things. And he says, and when the opportunity arises for us, let's do good. You know, let's bless the people of God. Let's bless people outside of God's family, you know, and thus be a living testimony of who Jesus Christ really is. Come on, let's figure it out. The world has not seen a visible, accurate demonstration of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've only seen, you know, I mean, little parts here and there. And of course, there's some semblances, right? But they have not seen a genuine Christian community lived out, right, by the Sermon on the Mount in such a way that lives will be changed. Yeah, I'm telling you, if the world would see that, would see Jesus' life being lived out in the church, I think evangelism would be very, very easy. I really do. I think it would just flow out of things. I think people would be running into the church, you know, to find the reason for their life. Because it's here. It's in the Scriptures. But the church has done such a poor job of relaying that message to the world. You know, we're so self-centered or self-focused, selfish in a lot of ways. You know, and he says, look, this is you sow, you know, and you will reap. And he says, so let's not grow weary of doing good. You know, and we took in this, what is the good that the Lord wants from us? You know, what is he talking about? Turn to Micah chapter 6. What is the good that he wants from us? Can you believe I'm almost done with my message? I actually feel quite uncomfortable. It's kind of too short, man. Right? Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Right? He says, he has told you, O man, what is good, what the Lord requires of you, right? That you do justice, right? That you love kindness, and that you walk humbly with your God. If we endeavor to do this as a family of God, man, we will be blessed, and not just blessed, we will overflow, right, and bring blessing to other people. You know, there's a church in Cincinnati, and this pastor, fabulous. I heard him speak. His name is Steve Shogren. I heard him speak years and years ago, and just so moved. And one of the stories he tells is one day decided to raid the church's bank account. And he, at this point, he probably had about 1,000 member church. And he said he gave every church member, church family, $10 US. And basically told them to go out and bless people. No conditions, nothing. Just, he said, just go bless people. you know, just go out. And so some kids got their $10 and they went and bought some shampoo, you know, for pets and things. And they set up a neighborhood pet washing clinic, you know. And so they got some shampoo, some pails, and they used the $10, you know. And all they did was they washed the neighbor's pets. And when neighbors came by and said, what are you doing this for? And he says, oh, Jesus loves you. It's just a small act. You know, just to share what, you know, that the Lord is just loving you. There was another story he was sharing. One of the guys at church decided to stand at Jack in the Box, you know, which is a burger place in the States. And he stood at the place where they were paying, you know, through the drive-thru. And while they were, you know, ordering the stuff, and he would just simply ask as they were driving, would you like to supersize that? You know, and so, you know, like you pay another 30 cents and then he would have all these dimes. And if they said yes, then he would give them 30 cents so they could supersize their meal, you know. And I mean, it sounds kind of hokey, right? But, you know, can you imagine you're driving through and some guys, you know, first of all, you think it's carjacking or something, you know, something going on. And then the guy doesn't want your car. He actually wants to give you some money to supersize your, you know, drink or whatever, your meal, you know. And so they'd ask, why are you doing this? He says, oh, because... You know, because Jesus loves you, and this is a small token to express how much he loves you. You know, and but this is my favorite story of all was this lady, and this lady is actually telling the story. She's a member of the church now. Her name is Teresa. Teresa has an 8-year-old son named Donnie, and she's on welfare. And at this moment, they're absolutely broke. They've got no money. You know, they have 10 days until the next welfare check comes and really don't know what to do. So she's rummaging through her apartment, you know, looking through the couches, under the couch, everywhere. And she finds $4.58. And she's got 10 days before the next check comes and she knows it's it. And so she takes her son and says, all right, you know, we got no money. This is it. We're just going to live it up. Right. And so living it up for them. So they went to the nearest Taco Bell. Right. And so as they're in their beat up, Taco Bell is a fast food chain in the United States. We actually call it Taco Hell, but, you know, still OK. And so go to Taco Bell and she goes to the drive thru in her beat up Toyota. And, you know, she's really contemplating and really asking God, you know, I mean, she's not a Christian. You know, God, are you here? You know, do you see what's going on? And as she's driving through the, you know, the last meal, in essence, for her and her little 8-year-old son, she pulls up to the window to pay after she's ordered. And the guy standing at the window, this big cashier, just saw this huge grin on his face and said, today's your lucky day. The card before you actually paid for your meal. And all they asked me to do is give you this card. And the card, I want to read it because I want to make sure that I get this right. The card simply said, we hope this small act of service shows you God's love in a practical way. And so she grabbed the card and she was so amazed. And so she's telling this testimony in front of the church now. And so she basically says to the church in her testimony, says, that was no small act. You know, maybe it was a small act to the person that did it, but to my son and I, it was huge. You know, it showed that, God, you really care. That God, you're here. You know, and that you're not disconnected with what I'm going through. You know, that you love me and you love my little son. You know, and you know, of course, the whole church is crying as she's sharing this testimony. And, you know, this is a life that's overflowing. You know, this is a life that, you know, he says he came, Jesus came that you might have life. And life overflowed, right? Overflowing in your life. You know, and acts of service, right, is an overflow. You know, giving of yourself is an overflow. You know, you can, you know, let's say this. You can never outgive God. Remember last week, you know, I shared the passage, right? He says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. This week, my good friend Eric, you guys remember Eric Lehman, who spoke at our church a while back, he called me, and I'm actually going in October. I'm speaking at his church in Tampa, and they have a new building, and so this kind of like they're having a big service to commemorate, so they asked me to come, and so I'm really excited. And so we're just sharing about, you know, what God's been doing, and, you know, he's a new church plant himself, you know, and for me, we've planted a church here as well, and so a lot of things in common. We're sharing, and I asked him, I said, bro, you've only been to church for a few years. How did you get your own building already? And he shared this story with me, right, just to illustrate. You can never outgive God. He said last year at the end of the year, the Lord blessed them financially as a church. They had $23,000 left over in their budget. right? They paid the pastors, you know, they paid the rent, you know, all these things. They had $23,000 left over, and they thought, you know, we really need to buy a church building. You know, we really need to do something and stuff. So, you know, and so some of the leaders thought, you know, why don't we, you know, put this in an account, save it for a down payment. But as the leaders begin to pray about this money, they were led to give to an orphanage in the Congo. You know, you guys know that Eric was born in the Congo, right? So he has a real heart affiliation there. And so they decided to give the money to the Congo to help them build a kind of wing to their orphanage. And so they gave it away, you know, and just thinking, you know, because, right, you can never outgive God, right? And so they gave the money away, and he said a few weeks afterwards, all of a sudden in the offering, right, they got $150,000 in the offering for the church, right? You know, you can never outgive God. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, you can never outgive God. Right? You know, it's amazing what God can do. Susan, is it okay? Right? Last week, I during service in the worship, I was walking back, and, you know, and Susan grabbed a hold of me, and she was really excited, you know, and it's not that she doesn't get excited, but she was really excited. And she said, Sam, a miracle happened to me. You know, Pastor Sam, a miracle happened to me. And I was like, really? So we sat down and talked and whatnot. And the week before, take a step back, a week before, I was talking with Susan, and we were just sharing about certain things. And she seemed to be very down, you know. And so we were just talking. I was trying to cheer up a little bit. And somehow in the conversation, you know, maybe because she's a banker, right? So you guys are always talking about money or something and stuff. So, you know, she was talking about, you know, and we got to the issue of money or something. And she said something, and it just kind of registered. And she said that, you know, I've been, this wasn't to lift her up or anything like that. But she's saying, you know, but I've been tithing, you know, for a while. And God's really, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't miss the money at all. You know, there's just something, you know, that God's doing in me, da da da. And I said, that's great. And right then I was thinking, you know, God's going to really bless you, you know, because you can never outgive God. And so what happened was that later that day, she got a call from a real estate agent. She's been trying to sell her apartment, basically, that she just bought recently, and she refurbished it and everything, trying to sell it, and she wasn't quite getting the amount that she wanted. And so she just settled. I said, okay, just 10 point whatever, I'll do it, you know, just sell. And told the agent, well, the agent was MIA, missing in action, for 3 days. And so that's why on Sunday she was so stressed out. You know, she's not getting any call back, and, you know, she's working on these other deals. And so Sunday after we talked, last Sunday, the agent calls her up and says, let's meet. And so she goes out to Pacific Place or IFC, one of these malls, and meets. And she gets there, and it's her agent, it's the buyer's agent and the buyer, right? Which is kind of rare. Oh, buyer's not there. Okay, so the buyer's not there. Good, good. Okay, so her agent and the buyer's agent come, and then the buyer's agent gives Susan a check for much more than what she agreed to, you know. And then she kind of, is that right? Okay, just make sure I get the story. And then she says, basically, you know, the agent, Susan, why are you doing this? And the agent says, you're a Christian, right? And she says, how do you know? Because I guess she was, when she was showing the house, she saw the Bible there, you know, and it must be a miracle because she can't even find the Bible, right, at her house. So I think the angel came and just put it there somewhere. You know, I think she was racking her head trying to find, where's that Bible, right? It's that magical Bible. And so she saw the Bible, you know, and said, oh, you're a Christian. You know, and the agent, I'm a Christian. And so this agent was working, the buyer's agent was working on her behalf, you know, and to get a better deal for the client. Obviously, the buyer was happy, too, with the price, you know. But, you know, it goes to show, right, you can never outgive God. You know, you start really giving to the Lord and giving to, you know, the people of God, and things just happen, right? I mean, just a little, I was so blessed. I had to share this story through this thing, right? You know, showing kindness, right? Generosity is an overflow. Right, that's what this whole thing's about. Administering justice is an overflow. You know, walking humbly with your God is an overflow. Right, that's what this whole thing's all about. Today, I shared with you last week that we're going to do something as a church. Today, you're going to be receiving an envelope today. The envelope's got a note inside. It's in English and Cantonese, and there's 500 Hong Kong dollars in the envelope. Okay, it's not for you to spend. Right? Don't think, ooh, hallelujah, God provided, right? You're blessed for a purpose, right? And what we want to do as a church, we wanted to be hands and feet in essence and try to model Christ. And so you're going to be receiving an envelope today, and then we're going to pray. And what we're going to do this week, and you have just this week to do it, right? So don't put it somewhere and forget about it, right? Because you're going to be accountable, right? I'm going to ask the Lord to watch over us. You know, don't worry, I trust you completely. That was just a joke. And so what you're going to do is you're going to grab this envelope and you're going to give it to someone this week. You're going to pray. You're going to ask God to lead you to maybe someone like I shared, you know, earlier about Teresa. Maybe someone in that situation. Maybe, you know, you'll be walking along, you'll see someone, and the Spirit of God will lead you. You know, if you have the right heart, you know, if you have the willingness, right, it is so difficult to hear God. I mean, really, it is so difficult, right, to hear what the Lord has to say to us. It'll be easy, man, right, if you got that heart to serve and to give and to overflow in your life. And so you're going to take this envelope, you know, and we wanted to write something on the envelope, but our printer was all jacked up, right? Kenny was going nuts trying to fix this. And so if you would like to write something on the front, if you can write Chinese, even better, you know, and just write on the front just a small gift for you from Jesus Christ, you know, or something. And then inside, there's a verse, and there's some things that we wrote out. You can write your own personal note as well, you know, but I want you this week to take the envelope and give it away to someone. You know, we took this out of our bank account at church and stuff, so you know, this is, I think, the least that we can do. Someone, can you start passing those out now? If you're visiting our church and this is kind of like, what the heck is this? You don't have to take one, right? And if you want to, you can. All right, so don't feel obligated. Even if you're a member here and this is too far out for you, you don't have to take one either, okay? And stuff. So you can take one, right? But don't spend it. That's my thing, right? You have to give it away. I pity the fool that spends this money, right? It's like, ooh, you know. So you just keep one. Yeah, they're all the same, right? This is not Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. There's no gold one in there. It's all the same. Okay. You can pass along to someone else, right? So everyone, just grab one. Yes, you can look inside and see. Or is it sealed? Oh, it's sealed. Oh, he didn't trust you. I trust you, buddy. If you don't want to take one, just throw it back to the middle. Trust me, the money's inside. I see some of you guys checking the light. Say the rest. We have another service later, right? And we're going to pray. And I really want to ask you to be a blessing to someone today, right, or this week. What we're going to do is when you go to our website, solomonsporchhk.com, there'll be a link in there that you can share your testimony of what you did. You know, I'm really believing that God's going to really lead us supernaturally, right? That the Holy Spirit is going to really, because the heart's there. You know what I mean? You know, when the heart's there, the feet are very easy to move, you know, and stuff. And so what we're asking, right, is that God would really lead us to people that are not just poor, right? I mean, that's one part of it, you know, not just marginalized, but people that are asking, God, are you here? Are you listening to me? Do you see where I'm at? You know, and you can be an agent of change in that person's life. And our church name is not in any of this stuff. This is not for us. We're not trying to, you know, win brownie points with our community or anything like that. You know, it's signed, very simply, it says, from Jesus the Christ. You know, and it's from the Lord, right? He says, you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And we as a church, we believe that this is a gift unto the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that's going to benefit his people, you know, and his people that don't know him yet, you know, and that's really our hope. And so this week, as you go off to your day, as you go to work, as you go shopping, you know, and pray and see what God has in store for you, you know, see what the Lord is doing, you know, and it's that timeliness. You know, I remember the one time my mom was actually in Korea, and she was in the subway, and she was trying to get on, something happened, and she looked in her wallet, she had no money, You know, so somehow nothing happened. And then and she was kind of like, you know, freaking out a little bit. Oh, what happened? You know, I need to get to this place and nothing. And then right then she looked up. And you know who was there? One of my friends showed up. You know, and actually he was here a few weeks ago, Paul. You know, the guy we're going, Paul showed up. Can you imagine? I mean, they're both from L.A., right? Walks in the same subway at the same time, shows up, and gives my mom money for the train, right, to get to where she's going to go. Right? I mean, God works very timely in a lot of ways. Because God is the owner of Kairos, right, and stuff. And so let's bow our heads and let's pray. Right? And please go to the website and share with us, right? You know, and the scriptures, Revelation 12 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they despised their life even in death. It was the testimony. It was sharing what God had done, right, that broke the back of the devil. And so please share with us online.